The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. So many ways to take us in. You just have to choose one of them. We appreciate that you do. Joe C, by the way, I haven't heard from Joe C in a while.
I know.
He was the guy who put them all together at once.
That's right.
We missed you, Joe C.
Yeah, he chimed in, what, was like a week or two ago.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, it is. And he was like, hey, first time tweeting in a while. And I'm like, man, yeah, I haven't heard your name in a while.
I miss you, Joe C. By the way, do you have Serena Williams fever?
Hell yeah, man.
In about a half hour or thereabouts, you know how this goes with tennis. Serena Williams making her return to the tennis court. Now, it's not singles. So it's a little bit of hype here, right? But she is taking the court at the HSBC Championship, the Queen's Club, if you will.
It's
Queen's
adorable.
Club Championships, where the brick building is right on the court. I love it.
It's great.
Victoria Mboko of Canada and Serena Williams are doubles partners, and they're taking on, I don't even know how you pronounce these, Erin Routliff and Nicole Melichar Martinez, I believe. Is how you pronounce that. And they're taking those guys on, and those two are seeded third in this tournament in doubles. And we'll see how Serena does, at least on the doubles court. She will be playing singles by the time Wimbledon rolls around. Grass court season, a grand total of 5 weeks. That's it. It's lovely to see. We have no bets on anything, but there you go. For your Serena Williams fans, the return to the competitive tennis about to happen. We get tweets of beating the book. Mark Bono, or Bono, at Fila 76 says, every time I see a 15-14 MLB score, reminds me when my dad and I went to game three of the 93 World Series here in Philly. Phillies blew a 14-9 lead in Tampa Bay when Ricky Henderson hit a bases loaded triple in front of my seat. Still the highest scoring World Series game ever. Oh, you mean Toronto, right? Not TB, as he put out there. Yes, indeed. Remember it well. The Toronto Blue Jays World Series champs of 92 and 93. And then, of course, the strike hits in 94. This is from Los Vegas 514. Yo, I've been to Oracle Park before. One of the best. Is this true? You can have your bratwurst delivered to your seats by Uber Eats delivery from in Oracle Park? Sheesh. I don't know that to be true, but it sure sounds true. Little Uber Eats right to the ballpark. How they get in the ballpark, though? You have to meet them at the gate? Is that how that works?
Or maybe they're just Uber Eating in the stadium. Like they'll go to a specific restaurant for you.
Maybe, I guess. Maybe. Oh, that's true. Right, that's how you do it. Vinny Vincent at Deputy Vinny. Kelly, my 9-year-old loves chicken tenders and orders them everywhere we go. He always wants to pick the restaurant, but orders chicken tenders. He no longer gets to pick after ordering chicken tenders at Red Lobster.
That's a lot of chicken tender drops.
This is exactly how Gracie was, by the way. Just,
hey, the kid's playing it safe. I don't blame him.
Gracie, you want anything besides chicken tenders? No. Whatever the opposite of a refined palate is at that age.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love their chicken tenders. You know why? Because they're manageable chicken is what it is. I think that's what they love about them.
Yeah.
You still like McNuggets? You know all that? Nuggets? Who doesn't love nuggets?
I love a good chicken nugget, chicken tender.
Gary_Philly. How could you talk so much about those champion Supersonics? First of all, we only talked about them once. Without mentioning my favorite player, Downtown Freddie Brown. Come on, man. Oh, yeah. Downtown Freddie Brown, instant offense off the bench for the Sonics. In an era of basketball where Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, used to say, literally in the NBA Finals with the Seattle Supersonics, Gus Williams and Dennis Johnson would talk to each other while bringing the ball up court. Like, that's how slow the game
was.
Great, they would have a conversation. Yeah. While bringing the ball up court, Freddie Brown also reminds me of one of the great Vegas stories of all time, as told by not my mishpucha Chrissy Andrews, but by the legendary Roxy Roxborough. You're familiar with Cryin' Kenny? Do you remember the Cryin' Kenny stories from Storytime?
Mm-hmm.
Cryin' Kenny's most famous story is when he lost a bet and he came back into the sports book with a gun and shot the screen on which he believed he lost the sports bet. By the way, he walked out of the sports book. Nothing ever happened to him. He wasn't prosecuted. No one knows whatever happened to Cryin' Kenny. That's the most famous Cryin' Kenny story. The second most famous Cryin' Kenny story is the one that Roxy told, which is a much more album cut B-side Cryin' Kenny story was he had the under in a Seattle Supersonics game. He had the under, a full game under. And like for the first 5 minutes of the game, nobody scored, or it was like 3-0 or something like that. And all of a sudden, 5 minutes into the game, Freddie Brown's got the ball at like the free throw line, like around the elbow, and he gets fouled and he just throws up this circus shot that somehow goes in, and Crying Kenny screams, "Are they going to hit every shot in this damn game?" The Freddie Brown story.
That's very good.
Yeah, I love that one. It's a great one. Joe C has checked in. He says, "Still listening every day, just slammed. Construction company, day job, now a restaurant, coaching both my daughter's soccer teams and jujitsu for both."
Boom.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, he's always coaching soccer.
Glad to know you're doing well.
By the way, Gil, for the, seventh consecutive year now, I just did what while you were bringing us into the segment. I'm like, hey, let me check around and see if any of these quarterback markets are...
I noticed you've been doing a lot of research.
Are available to us.
Yeah.
No.
Nothing in Nevada.
So, like, for the eighth consecutive year, I've asked myself that question. I've stopped to look, and no, I don't know what I'm going to learn.
When this state gets sports betting, boy.
Yeah.
Legalized sports betting comes here, the state is going to be something else. College World Series is set. Alabama and Oklahoma did, in fact, get the job done yesterday in those two suspended games where they had huge leads in them. Here are the latest odds now heading into the College World Series, which begins on Friday with the final eight. Again, what you have is two brackets of four. And by the way, thank you. The Fakakta bracket has arrived now that we have all eight teams. So you have West Virginia, Troy, North Carolina, and Ole Miss in bracket one. And then in bracket two, you got Bama, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Texas. Wow. Is that an all SEC bracket? Yeah, damn right it is. Wow. The entire bracket too is SEC. So you will have an SEC team guaranteed for the best of three finals of the Men's College World Series once we get there. But now remember, bracket one and bracket two, these begin as double elimination format, as they do each and every year, right? Because we've alternated, right? Regionals were double elimination. Super regionals were best of threes. Now we're back to double elimination here in both brackets one and two. Whoever emerges as the one that doesn't have two losses then will compete in a best of three in the College World Series, which begins on June 20th. So this is going to last all the way till June 21st or June 22nd if that in fact goes to a third game. But here it is, odds to win it all. North Carolina and Georgia, co-short shots at plus 275. Texas is 3-1. West Virginia, plus 750. There's Hottie Toddy Ole Miss at 8-1, trying to win their second championship in five seasons. Then it's Bama at 14-1. Then it's Oklahoma at 16-1. And Troy bringing up the rear at 35-1. Any thoughts, Kelly Bidley?
No, you got your Ole Miss future, man. This is...
Well, I don't have what Jensen has. Jensen has him at like 60-1, I believe, on Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around there. Oh, yeah. Man, Georgia looked damn good. I watched a lot of these games over the weekend. You're catching bits and pieces. Thought Georgia looked really good. North Carolina coming back to beat USC, looking pretty good. But, man, nothing I'm going to dive in yet on the futures board. Happy to bet some of these games, though. We'll be talking to guys, Jensen and Matt Grissom here end of the week. Game lines for game ones, West Virginia, this is over at DraftKings, West Virginia minus 210, Troy plus 160, and then North Carolina minus 166, Ole Miss plus 130 dog for that first game. And then in the all SEC bracket, Bama minus 120, Oklahoma minus 110. So that a bit of a coin flip in that game. And then true coin flip minus 115, Texas and Georgia, both.
What about Stanley Cup game four tonight here at T-Mobile with the Vegas Golden Knights up 2-1? We had Sia on earlier. He's on the Hurricanes to win the series, sort of quoting the fact that they were favorites and substantial favorites, substantial-ish favorites, right, heading into the series and now find themselves at plus 158 down a game. I agree with Jake's take, which is, you know, listen, we're always talking about sports betting. There's content and hours to be filled of content, right? Sometimes it's okay to just say, you know what? If you have a better idea on this, good for you. I don't know how anyone with any kind of conviction, unless you have a thought on the goaltender, right? Unless you believe Carolina is going to make the wrong decision per your handicap and goal tonight, maybe that's something that we'll allow here on the show, right? We'll allow it. But I don't know how you can otherwise, with any kind of conviction on the side, tell me why you think one of these teams is going to win over the other. the money line reflects just that. Carolina is just a tick of a favorite. I mean, this is as close to a coin flip as you can get. Carolina's minus 109, we're showing here, courtesy of Circa. Golden Knights are minus 103, totals at 6. Every one of these games has soared over. We've had two overtime games. There you see the puck line as well. I have no idea what to expect tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really boring, but every one of these games, I keep looking at the over. Like 5.5, yeah. 6, like they're scoring goals. You're talking about Carolina with goalie issues now. See how that comes into play. I think I'm going to tail Jake on a couple of his props. I thought the stall over shots on goals was a good look. Talked about how his kind of different style that he's kind of been playing throughout this series, but still one of their best goal scorers. 1.5 shots. I think I'm going to play over that. And I thought he made a good point on the shots on or the saves for Hart playing over 26.5 and just kind of the muted price you're getting on that with how fewer shots on goal the Hurricanes are getting here in the Stanley Cup final. So I think I'm going to play. I think I'm going to play both of those.
Okay. What do you have? Jordan Staal over 1.5 shots on goal.
1.5 shots on goal, and then Hart over 26.5 saves.
Okay. He's got those as well. We'll recap all of the bets. I think Jake had 4 total prop bets tonight's game 4 coming up on the show. We'll look over all the bets. Joe Sheehan is going to join us, talk Major League Baseball. On the other side, we'll get back to the NBA Finals. And in addition to the NBA Finals, Giannis Antetokounmpo, his next team. Has this gotten a little more interesting?
Boom, boom, boom.
A little more interesting.
Is it done?
Is it done? Next on A Numbers Game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The World Cup is 2 days away. Count them. 2.
1, 2.
Don't miss your chance to win $1 million. Entries close Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Oh, they moved it back a little bit. 3 p.m. Eastern is now when the entries close Thursday. Splash Sports offering $1 million guaranteed in a high-stakes survivor contest. $1,000 to enter. $1 million on the line. You can only use a team once. Pick wisely from the group stage all the way through the knockout rounds. Outlast everyone else, and the million is yours. It's that simple. Right now, new players using promo code VSIN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free Quick Picks entry up to $20, plus a 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close Thursday, June 11, 3 p.m. Eastern. Don't wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use code VSIN. Must be 21 and over. Available in select states only. So we had previously reported that deadline was at noon Eastern. No, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Yeah, so Thursday. Just get it in before the first game starts.
Yeah, that's correct.
Mexico, South Africa, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Another one.
Who you got in that game?
Another one where you throw out the records when those two teams meet. We get tweets.
Mexico, minus 240 favorite. All right.
Yeah. Of all the things that have been said about the World Cup by all of our esteemed guests,
mm-hmm.
Paul Carr, Chris Velika, Drew Dinsick, we'll have Dallin Cuff to discuss the World Cup tomorrow as well. The thing that has resonated the most with me is the whole Paul Carr teams from South America are going to have a massive advantage with the weather based on teams from Europe.
It's definitely
and Asia.
It's definitely the most interesting thing heading into this for me.
Yes. Have you been to Miami
in July?
Does it
play out?
Yeah.
Not even just that. I mean, I think not even just that, the fan bases, right? Like, how many cities is England going to show up to and get a good fan base?
This is dreadful.
Probably a fair amount. You're not showing up in Miami to play Brazil or something like that and having an advantage with the fans.
No wonder we let them have their silly colonies. Jason H11, chicken tenders are my go-to at a game. Rarely are they bad, and if so, you can make them more than edible with lots of whatever sauce you're dipping them in.
This is kind of my theory too.
Listen, nobody dislikes chicken tenders.
Yeah,
Fairway Fred.
Just safe.
Oh, the old days of baseball. Bottled beer delivered to your seat by just screaming, beer here. Well, Money Gun Guz. Hey, I met Money Gun Guz yesterday outside the studio.
Oh, nice.
He says, has anyone else ever had this thought? Why aren't plain bathrooms bigger? I feel like they're made for Oompa Loompas. Nice to meet you, Gil, yesterday. Can't wait for football. Cheers. That's a random thought. It's true.
No, it's very true. Look, there's a lot of things, too, that I've learned along my journey of losing weight when you're like, all right, I'm a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Being in these airplane bathrooms,
yeah,
nightmare, right?
Oh, I can't.
And then you lose weight, and you're like, it's still a nightmare. Who was ever thinking about this?
No one's ever like, this is luxurious.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, no. Willie B. Benton. Never forget when Maurice White was questioned by September co-writer Ali Willis why he used the phrase ba-de-ya and what the phrase actually meant. Maurice reminded her to, quote, never let the lyrics get in the way of the groove. Ah, perfectly said. Perfectly said. Fairway Fred adds, no teams from last year repeating at the College World Series. Can you say transfer portal? Great ballpark in Omaha. If you love baseball, definitely a bucket list item. I'd love to go. You know, as a matter of fact, if only VEASAN would send multiple shows to Omaha, we could be part. Oh, no, we're not.
Are we doing that this year?
We weren't a part of that then, last year.
No. Sir. Is it happening this year?
A numbers game.
I don't even know.
Never been anywhere historically. Capper. My go-to at Oracle, the two times I've been, was the bucket of garlic fries. Oh, yeah, the garlic fries are insane.
Yeah, see, that sounds insane. Good, yeah.
And good for you, by the way. Oh, so good for you. Manny Davison, I like Jake's thought to wait for some live numbers either way. I saw as high as 70-1 on Carolina going into the third, down 0-4. Not a bad sweat for overtime, even though it didn't come through. Yeah, I mean, let's not wait for him to be down 4 goals. That's just what an incredible hockey game that was.
So I will bring up one live betting thing that I did last game. And this is just keep an eye on your books. There was a couple that are very eager to adjust to live lines, which you and I are often complaining about or have in the past. Right. Of like, hey, well, this book, like, get a live line up. Like, right. We know what's going on. Right. But there were a couple of those goals that went under review and they took them off the board. And like, I caught one book like asleep. They had already moved numbers and counted for the goal. So I don't keep your eye out for that. Might be some opportunities. Did it work out for me in the end? No, it didn't, because Carolina didn't win the game.
And Patrick Kelly, Jordan Staal for one plus shutout goal in the first period is plus 130 at DraftKings and plus 148 at FanDuel. Just took under two on FanDuel. Staal is fourth line, usually starts the game though. And is on the power play. Definitely like the 2+ for the game on DraftKings, since that includes overtime.
I like the first period angle though too, because then it just, for me, for 20 straight minutes, just yelling, shoot it, shoot it.
Oh, he's 2 units on FanDuel. Pardon me, from Patrick Kelly. Pardon me for misinterpreting your abbreviations. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can we go to that? We have been sort of watching this, where his next season, by the way, this saga has to end already. How many years have we been talking about Giannis's next?
It's incredible.
Team? Just
Pat Riley has, I want to know how many hundreds of hours Pat Riley has spent over trade proposals on the phone with them, in meetings with his own staff, coming up with new trade proposals.
Yeah.
It's like been for 5 years now.
Well, we saw some speculation. I mean, I don't know if there's anything new on this, but I mentioned when we were talking about Giannis's potential destinations, one of the things was, hey, everyone's like, wow, will Giannis play with Steph? That would be awesome. I'd love to see it as a Dubs guy. But Giannis wants to be as close to Greece as possible, some reports indicate. So he'd prefer an East Coast team. Plus, as Kelly mentioned last week, why would you want to go to the Western Conference, period, with OKC and San Antonio looming large? At the top, makes much more sense to go to the Eastern Conference team, where everybody to an Eastern Conference team, where everyone has a puncher's chance. But the Celtics, these reports out of Boston, and I mentioned this at the time, seem to indicate that the Celtics might be done with Jaylen Brown. Like, they just might, after the Celtics were knocked out this year, Jaylen Brown was quoted as saying, it's the most fun he's ever had after that early exit. And that didn't sit well with a lot of people in Boston, according to reports. Could Giannis end up with the Celtics? Do we have odds on this on prediction markets?
Yes, we do. And the Heat are over 50% right now. That's where we're at. This is a situation. I don't think Boston. I'm interested to see what happens with that. I think they're going to be completely fine going forward. It was Jaylen Brown's comments. I get it. They came at a bad time, but he was talking about how he like he got to be the guy, and he was like calling himself the best two-way player in the NBA. Like, it was a great regular season for him. It was a really, really crappy playoffs. Updated odds on this: Miami minus 132 So we are into odds on favorite for Miami now. Stays with Milwaukee or retires plus 528. Boston plus 943. Portland plus 1240. Brooklyn plus 1462. Everybody else 22-1 or longer.
Go to the mind of Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens, GM of the Boston Celtics. Do you believe that Brad Stevens, they won their championship, right? They did win one championship. But what was our big thing with the Celtics now for all of these seasons? When we get to the playoffs, if you're following them during the regular season, it's the same thing. Celtics are a very simple basketball team. They all sit there behind the arc and they just fire away. There's never any adjustments, doesn't feel like, right, on the court. Maybe I'm being too blanket about this, but it sure doesn't feel like they are the most on-the-fly team on the court under Joe Mazzulla. Your coach of the year, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break. Anyway, I can't believe that he's coach of the year. Anyway, they make that entire playoff run again for this season. So we're just going to keep firing from three. Some games they're going to go in, we're going to win. Some games they're not going to go in, and we're going to lose. Do you think Brad Stevens, who is considered to be one of the best basketball minds, at some point here says to himself, okay, we've seen this through. We got ourselves a championship. This is the ceiling of what we are with this current construction. We need to shake this up. Is that where his head is? Or do you think he's more likely to be like, yeah, you know what? Let's run this back again and again.
Yeah, I think it's a great question because I think it's more of talking about stylistically, right, how they play and then adapting your roster to fit that. I think there could be a point where Brad Stevens says, hey, we need to adjust how stylistically how we're playing these games. I think the biggest thing for them is they play without a changeup, right? But it's fastball, fastball, fastball.
Right. What I'm saying is nothing will precipitate that change more than acquiring Giannis, right? You'll be forced to change.
Sure, sure. I guess what I would say is I think you could absolutely change the style of how you're playing in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on roughly the same timeline. I think you can get that done with those two leading the way. Where you have to change the roster is with some of those surrounding pieces that they have just kept acquiring, right? Three-point shooter. I think you're changing the roster makeup more. I don't know. I think that can still include Jaylen Brown. I've always been high on Jaylen Brown. And to me, this conversation should have been settled 5 years ago. We were always going, it was always a conversation 4 or 5 years ago. Can these two play on the same team?
Right.
If there was that big a question back then, you should have dealt with it then, because both of them have shown at different times now that they can be star elite players in this league. And I think Jaylen Brown did show that this year.
Would you bet this market?
I would not bet this market. There are strong reports that this is going to happen before the NBA draft takes place. So next couple weeks, we'll be done talking about this. And it sounds like that Heat trade package has not changed all that much from before the trade deadline. And they are very much the leaders in the clubhouse right now.
First round, 2 weeks from tonight. Joe Sheehan joins us on the other side. Talk a little Major League Baseball, where he stands on multiple matters. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa and the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Can I interest you in a little VSiN Pro Early Bird special? For a limited time, lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, we will release our NFL betting guide. Adam Burke is in the lab putting it together to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Man, June 22nd, a new early bird record date. That's football guide 1.0, I should point out.
That's right.
That's right.
Because it will be updated.
First iteration, as the kids say. Let's talk some baseball. Joe Sheehan joins us now. Joe is the author of the Joe Sheehan newsletter, which you can find, by the way, easily at Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. By the way, joesheehan.com is also where you can find that. Joe, where are you joining us from, by the way? Where do you hail from?
I'm originally from New York City. I live in Yonkers now, which is just outside the city.
Okay. Were you as fascinated by this game in Summerlin, Nevada as we were last night? 15-14 Brewers. What do you think about that?
I checked out a couple of times during it, and then, you know, I was doing some reading and working on some stuff for today, and I just clicked back into my Slack. I've got the newsletter as a Slack, and the game was still going. I'm like, how did that happen? Like, the Brewers are 14-10, and the A's with two outs, and the A's scored, and it was a lot of fun to watch. In a year where pitching is dominated, where run scoring is down, it was nice to get a good old-fashioned 1999 baseball game last night.
You going to play it tonight? You going to play the over here?
I'd like to go back in time and play the 10.5 yesterday. It's 13 today. So the books have adjusted. It reminds me of, there was a series in Mexico City in Mexico. It might have been Monterey a couple of years back, where the total went from like 10.5 to 17 over 2 days. But I do like the over tonight, actually, because the conditions are going to be the same. Guys, I'm not sure if you know this. It's very hot in Las Vegas.
What?
I'm bringing some new information there. The thing we saw last night was the condition of the field. Rock hard, almost like a turf-style field with the bounce you're getting. So hit the ball in the air, it's going to fly. Hit the ball on the ground, it's going to fly. Not a lot of safe options for pitchers.
What other bets did you land on today?
I like the Mariners in the first five innings against the Orioles. You've got Logan Gilbert going out. He's been very effective this year. Trevor Rogers, he righted the ship a little bit the last time out, but he hasn't struck out three batters in a game since April 19th.
Wow.
He's really just the number four, number five type starter. He had a long stretch there. He had an ERA of 11 over about a six start stretch. So I like the first five too, because it keeps me away from the Mariners bullpen that has been worked very hard over the last 4 days. Andres Munoz, a couple of consecutive days. Everybody in that bullpen has pitched on at least of the two of the last 3 days. So give me the first five. The Gilbert-Rogers matchup is pretty good for them. Only minus 24.
Okay, and you have one more, right, as well?
Yeah, Dylan Cease returns for the Blue Jays. He's been out with an injury the last couple of starts. Nothing major. Cease is incredibly underrated. I gave him out at 40-1 for the AL Cy Young Award this year. We'll see if he actually gets there with, you know, guys like Cam Schlitter having big years. But he returns 36% strikeout rate, 2.59 FIP, 3.11 Statcast expected ERA. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But because his ERAs have tended to run high, he doesn't get that level of respect. He's going up against tonight against the Phillies team that, guys, believe it or not, this is the third worst offense in baseball so far this year. They have a 299 OBP. You think about Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, all the stars that they have, but they're not hitting at all. On the road, they are actually the worst offensive team in baseball. They got five last night. I don't think they can do it again tonight.
Okay, so once again, three-pack of plays from Joe. Brewers Athletics, over 13. He's going for it here in Summerlin. Mariners, money line, first five versus the Orioles, behind Logan Gilbert, and then the Blue Jays, money line versus the Phillies, full game today. Let's talk Cy Young, because we've talked about this extensively. It's really so different, the NL race versus the AL race. With apologies to Kyle Harrison after last night, the NL race just absolutely a logjam of awesomeness. And then the AL, kind of a logjam of I don't know what. What are your feelings on both of these two races?
You know, the AL, like I said, I gave out Cease at the start of the year, missing a couple of starts. I don't think that's going to hurt him too much. I think he can get back into this. Cam Schlitter, obviously the favorite at this point. I think one of the issues, the questions we're going to have is how many innings is he going to throw this year? Excuse me, guys, I'm being arrested for this take.
That's it. You're done.
Schlitter did throw 140 innings last year between the majors, the minors, and the playoffs. I figure the Yankees are going to try to have him throw maybe 175, 180 this year, but they're going to need some of those to be in October. So as the year goes on, are we going to see him pull back? Is he not going to be able to put up the kind of counting stats that will enable him to hold up a DeGrom, a Cease, a Williams? I think this is a wide open race right now. There's still a chance. It's not a great chance that Tarik Skubal comes out and is so great over his last 15 starts that he injects himself back into this. You've got Davis Martin in Chicago. I don't know that his performance is sustainable. If you talk about the guys in this group who can continue to repeat the performance they've had, I think it's Cease, it's DeGrom, and it's Schlemmer.
What about the National League? Who would you vote for now?
Christopher Sanchez. And I think that's who we're going to end up voting for at the end of the year. You guys talk about this race a lot, and I think one of the factors that doesn't come up enough is innings. Christopher Sanchez has been a major league starter now for a while. There's not going to come a point where the Phillies are going to feel a need to manage his innings. But you look at Jacob Mizrahi, and as great as he's been, you know, he's peaked at 140 innings last year. I mentioned this with the Yankees. The Brewers need him to pitch well, not for 6 months, but for 7 months. And I do think at some point they're going to throw the brakes on him, and that's going to affect his ability to win these awards. I would make the same thing a point about Ohtani, who as of today isn't even eligible for the ERA title in the National League. They've got him on a once-a-week schedule, which means he might or might not get to 162 innings. I think Ohtani's only chance, given the fact that he's going to have such low volume, is to break Bob Gibson's ERA record of 1.12. It's very hard to do. I think Ohtani's only path, though, is to set that record, be eligible for the ERA title, and that's a way he gets past Sanchez. But right now, you look at the guys eligible for this award, and it's Sanchez and maybe Paul Skenes as guys who are expected to pitch a full season.
You are so right about innings pitch. Tom Tango, a sabermetrician who has had the tried and true Cy Young formula, which is hit at an inordinate rate over time. The first part of his formula is innings pitch divided by two minus earned runs. That's right at the start of the formula. So it does matter. And Christopher Sanchez in the catbird seat right now, plus 140, Jacob Mizorowski plus 180, Shohei 5-1 to win the National League Cy Young as we sit here and do this on June 9th. I want to talk about the Giants just for a second, because I think it's one of the more fascinating things in baseball is when the trade deadline approaches, or in the case of the Giants, the Major League Baseball draft right in mid-July as well, where they have an interesting window here to capitalize. They've got all these veteran players, and they got to blow this up. You can't do this. You can't be, you know, one toe in, one toe out in a division that includes the LA Dodgers. But I'm curious, Joe, is this going to be easier said than done? Because I don't know who's taking Adames' contract or Devers' contract or that kind of thing. And then the guys that you really kind of want to hang on to, right? The Lees and the Ariases of the world. I'm not sure you want to let those guys go. So how does this end up for the Giants, do you think, in the end?
Well, Arias would be an easy trade target only because he's only signed for this year. So you can move him, and he's not part of your future. I want to say Jung-Hoo Lee signed a 4-year deal when he came over. And sometimes with Japanese players, I'm not sure whether he gets to be a free agent at the end of that or not. So you wonder how much longer he's going to be around. One of the issues you have is that the reason the Giants are bad this year are the players that you might now want to trade. So they don't have a ton of trade value. I'm not sure what the market is for Matt Chapman at his current performance level with his contract. I'm not sure what the market is for Willy Adames at his contract at his current performance level. It's a problem. You're just not going to be able to move these guys. Even if they might make a team one win better, nobody's going to take that contract off your hands just to get one win better. I think the only real attractive prospect they have here is Logan Webb. Is there an argument for trading Logan Webb, going into a full rebuild, and kind of trying to come out the other side in 29 or 30? One of the things about the Giants right now is while they don't have a lot of prospects at the top end of their farm system, they are fantastic at the lower levels. They've done an excellent job the last few years, both drafting and internationally, in building out the bottom of this system. So you can make a case for the Giants going into one of these 2-year rebuilds and looking to emerge in 28 or 29 with that core, as well as the prospects that they might get for a Logan Webb. But to me, if you're serious about this, you have to trade Webb.
I think you're right. Last thing, 30 seconds. The team in either the American League or National League that you think most people aren't talking about that could slip into the playoffs and make some noise.
I gave them out at 10 to 1 at one point. The Red Sox, they've really undercut this, so I'm not sure they're the team really either. I would say maybe the Diamondbacks. I had the Diamondbacks, gave them out at 20 to 1 to win the division. That's probably not going to happen. But you look at this offense starting to come together. I really like the rotation if they get Corbin Burns back. I think they can make a run here. So I would say the Diamondbacks.
Joe, always appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Sheehan, everybody. @Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. The Joe Sheehan newsletter at joesheehan.com. Coming back, we'll recap the bets next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, typing aggressively away on his keyboard. Keyboard is in big trouble. You can follow Kelly on Twitter, by the way, at Kelly Bidlin. I'm like beating the book. Always appreciate the tweets. And we got one from Del Mind the Gap Radio.
What's up, Del?
Who I thought was the, he evolved, I thought, from Del Mind the Gap Radio. Or is that something else? Del Mind the Gap Radio says, while working at home every day, it's nice to have you and Kelly as part of my regular routine. Nick's in six. Thank you, Del Mind the Gap Radio. Appreciate that.
Well, it's Nick's in four chance changed pretty quick.
Yeah, well, no longer a possibility. Hey, you know what I didn't update today? VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge standings, which you can follow at contest.killersports.com, and your boy Young Gil is your champion.
Look at you.
Yeah. Kind of crushed.
Dude, dominant. Dominant win.
Now it's just about setting the all-time. I've already set the all-time record, the all-time two-year record for this. Now I'm just trying to establish it so far out that no one in future years can ever match it.
What was the winning record last year?
24-14.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 25-11. Clinch. Give me my title. What do I win?
Well, he's still got to make two more picks.
I still got to make two more picks. So that's what I'm trying to set. I'm trying to set it as far. Oh, I'm trying to hit 70% of the contest is basically what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. As you should.
Yeah.
I would probably, if I were you, I'd probably just make side and total for the next game. Make sure I get two picks in before I forget.
Yeah, that's what we do. It's a beautiful. By the way, I'm going to be on San Antonio. I was on San Antonio last night. I will be on San Antonio again in game four. If we could flash those standings up again, because there is
there are two places,
right? There are two places that get cash money. First place, $3,000. Second place, $500. The race for second place is a scrum, a five-person scrum, all the way from Kyle Akins down to Nick Whalen. Kyle Akins, Zach Cohen. Zach is the in the clubhouse at 22-16. He has no more picks left. There's 38 total picks. Kyle and Zach both have 22 wins. So Zach's got to hope Kyle loses. And then there's the tiebreaker, whoever everybody had winning the title. And I don't know what everybody has. By the way, Steve Fezzik's in there. Carl Sack, the creator of this contest, is in it. And so is Nick Whalen for that number two position. The tiebreaker is who you have as the NBA champ. I had the Spurs as the NBA champ. I doubt anybody picked the Knicks to win the NBA championship, but one of those five might have the Spurs. So yeah, tiebreaker will matter. But there you go. Those five battling for second place. Kelly Bidlin not pictured. There you go.
Boom, boom, boom. All the way at the bottom.
Yeah, man. It's so much fun. Shout out to Killer Sports. Shout out to Carl Sack for doing that again this year.
Yeah, great contest. Love doing it every year. I think it's a fun challenge through the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know about if someone would have picked the Knicks or not. I'll tell you, I got very creative with my tiebreaker selection.
Oh.
Because we were talking about that yesterday. And I was like, I don't remember what the hell I sent in for that. Pulled it up. Denver Nuggets.
Oh, wow. I had to tell you.
Not close.
Yeah. It was interesting, though, because I said on the show yesterday I was taking the Spurs. Kyle Akins had a mathematical chance to tie me. If I lost my reigning three, he won his final. Guessing he heard me say that, he took the Knicks last night, or Carl told him. Yeah. So he took the Knicks, and that may cost him second place in the end. We'll see.
Yeah, had to, though.
He had to. That's how he had to play it. Yep. Fun contest. Spurs to win the NBA Finals, 19-1. Still alive and kicking after last night's win. Cubbies most wins in June, 12-1. Yeah, it's not looking so good. They're 2-4 after that ridiculous loss to the Giants on Sunday Night Baseball. And there's Ole Miss to win the College World Series at 20-1. By the way, most wins in the month of June, you may be wondering, currently, there's some great records so far in the month of June. We have a two-way tie for most wins. Any guesses? Anyone?
The Braves?
No, close. Philly, 6-1. Brewers 6-2. Brewers have the best run differential of everybody.
You would think that would be more familiar to me, considering I bet on both of those teams a week ago.
You're super close, though. Tigers, Marlins, and Braves all 5-1. Royals are 5-2. All six of those teams doing really well.
Here come those Tigers and Royals.
And Marlins.
And Marlins, yeah. Watch out.
Braves consistent every month thus far this year.
Marlins, they working themselves right back into position where they can sell a bunch of pieces.
Maybe so.
Got to hit that run here.
What do you got?
I have Spurs bets with you, my friend. So let's go San Antonio Spurs. Spurs 125. Well, I've got them to win the series multiple places. Plus 125. Knicks game one in Spurs. Spurs in six. Spurs in seven. So just keep winning, San Antonio. Let's see. NBA draft. Darren Peterson, first overall pick. plus 350. You can get a little bit number, better number than that now. Cameron Boozer, third overall pick, minus 125. I don't think you can get as good a number there as me now. However, Gil, I keep seeing more Cameron Boozer things, just of maybe going second, maybe going. Really? Yeah, it's, yeah, you brought it up the other day. I think there are the NBA level guys, I think, are looking at him a little bit more highly than we even thought. So,
I mentioned the comparison to Cat.
And I know JVT's
a more early developed cat.
JVT's got a bet for him to go second. Carlos Boozer does work in the front office for the Utah Jazz, so there is that connection too.
That's interesting, because the thing is, if they're not getting Demanza, which they're not, then they might as well take
it's Boozer. Just I'm just smiling because what has this ever mattered for an NBA team ever in the past? You know, like, it's not,
Utah, BYU goes to Utah.
Right, that, or a family member works for the team. I guarantee you kids have been drafted where their father or someone has worked for a team.
For sure.
We never bring it up.
For sure. Plus, what did Darren Peterson do this year that made, like, what is it about his performance or lack of availability, more specifically, that if you're an NBA team at the top of the draft, maybe, oh my God, I got to draft that guy.
I think he's a very good player.
No, I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying I'm sure he's an outstanding player. It's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is, you've got to devote millions of dollars to this person. Isn't that enough? If all other things are equal, isn't that the tiebreaker where you're like, I don't know if I can rely on this guy?
So if all other things are equal, yes. And the creatine story.
Oh, he's blaming it on creatine.
Hey, it might be a thing. I'm not going to doubt the kid. Yeah. But my little spidey senses, Gil, tell me the truth is probably somewhere in between. You know what I mean on all those things.
How great would it be if you had spidey senses?
It would be. It would help me out in life. Yep. All right, World Cup bets. France. That's right, Drew Dinzik. France to win the World Cup.
Jeez.
And to reach the quarterfinals. Portugal to reach the quarterfinals, plus 125. Colombia to win Group K, plus 260. And I've got about, I'm going to say, four more bets written down to shop prices that I haven't made yet, but I'm a little scared of going full Paul Carr. You know, like, I don't want to roll in here with like 30 bets and I don't even know. We talked about it yesterday. We did the Survivor. You have no idea how the bracket's really going to shake out outside of the group stage. You don't want to make, you know, advance to quarters or semis and then your teams run into each other right away. So make sure you're checking that stuff out. Okay, long shots. Wes and I will be recording here in a couple hours. A few outrights that I did make last night already, though. Chris Rayton, 28-1. Brooks Koepka, talked about that yesterday on the show, 30-1. And the other Fitzpatrick, Alex Fitzpatrick, 40-1. We'll have plenty more today on long shots.
All right, cool. Christopher Rayton, you ever bet on him before?
I have not bet him in outrights, man. Kid from Norway is playing great golf right now.
Jake Hahn on the NHL Stanley Cup Final, game number 4 tonight. Jalen Chatfield of the Hurricanes, over 1.5 blocks. Jeremy Lauzon of the Golden Knights, over 1.5 blocks. Carolina's Jordan Staal, over 1.5 shots on goal. And Carter Hart in net for the Vegas Golden Knights, over 26.5 saves. Jake pointing out that the saves number for Carter Hart has dipped a bit, down to 26.5, so he is taking the over there. Sian Najad, who was kind enough to join us to talk Brendan Sorsby, and did so very adeptly with his law degrees and his 2-state bar exam prowess. I get it all covered. Yeah.
So sorry, I'm just, whatever's going on in local news right now is just fantastic. The live shot with reporter out in front of a building with someone just playing a guitar next to him. I have no idea what's going on.
C also had a Super Bowl exacta, Rams over the Bengals at 90-1. And he's got the Carolina Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup adjusted series bet at plus 158. Man, Vegas Golden Knights fans not going to appreciate that. Then Drew Dinzik he was talking a lot of World Cup. In the end, he landed on Argentina to win the World Cup at 9-1. He also has Argentina beating Spain in an exacta, but we could not locate that bet.
I don't know that he scouting. For sure said he bet that. He just, that's how he had it playing out.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, he's got Argentina to win it all at 9-1. He anticipates it being Argentina to beat Spain. We also had Mark Borchard on. Trio of baseball bets. Mariners O's under 8.5 runs. Braves run line. Good dissertation on the run lines from Mark. Braves run line at the White Sox, minus 1.5, plus 103. And a parlay of run lines. Braves 1.5. That's minus 1.5. Cubs minus 1.5 at plus 294. And then Joe Sheehan had a trio of baseball bets. Mariners money line first five versus the Orioles. Blue Jays money line full game versus the Phillies. And tonight in Summerlin, Nevada, Brewers Athletics over 13. Let's go Summerlin. Do your thing.
Let's go Vegas. Hockey, baseball.
What a night. Whew, what a night. We've done all we can do. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.